In the United States, COVID cases have been falling and restrictions are also easing. Mask mandates are now gone in most major cities and vaccine requirements for indoor spaces like gyms and restaurants are dropping. But in parts of Europe, cases are rising. Germany recorded a record number of cases today, and parts of Asia are seeing dramatic increases. So should Americans be worried about a new wave here? Let's bring in Dr. Angela Rasmussen, a virologist at the Vaccine and Infectious Disease Organization at the University of Saskatchewan. Dr. Rasmussen, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me, Jane.
Well, before we get to the U.S., let's start with what's happening in Europe and Asia. We're hearing that some of the rise in cases there, especially in Europe, could be attributed to this new Omicron variant called BA2. Tell us about that.
So BA2, as you pointed out, is another version or flavor of Omicron. It's what we call a sublineage of the Omicron variant, which actually incorporates multiple lineages of virus. So BA1 was what we called original Omicron. That was during our big wave in the late fall of 2021 and the early part of 2022. BA2 is a similar virus, but it's actually quite distinct from BA1. And there has been a lot of discussion about actually calling BA2 something besides Omicron because it is similar and they're evolutionarily related, but it's somewhat different. Yeah. And the thing that people really need to keep in mind about BA2 is that at least in Europe and some of the other places that it has spread, it does seem to be distinct enough to be causing waves very shortly after a big wave of BA1. So that is very much a concern. It's also more transmissible.
Well, to that point, the CDC director told NPR today that this new variant is slightly more transmissible, as you say, than the general Omicron variant, but it doesn't seem to evade our vaccines or our immunity any more than the prior Omicron. As you watch what's happening in Europe, what do we know about the impact of this variant?
So that is the good news in that it is different from BA1, but BA1 itself was very different from all of the variants that came before, and specifically the Delta variant, which caused the wave that was most recent proximal to the Omicron wave here.
Right.
So the real issue here is whether or not people who've had a recent Omicron infection or people who've gotten boosted will suddenly be very quickly afterwards susceptible to infection with BA2. And that's something we don't really know. Now, some early data from Europe suggests that there may be some lingering protection, particularly from a recent Omicron infection. But again, it's still a bit early to tell. We certainly have BA2 in the U.S., and I think a lot of people are very concerned that it's going to follow the trends that we're seeing in Europe right now.
Mm. Well, in the United States, data from the CDC shows that 1/3 of the most recent wastewater samples in this country show an increase of coronavirus. Whether that's BA2 or not, we don't know. But does that mean a potential surge is coming similar to what's happening in Europe?
Well, that certainly is one thing that is alarming me and a lot of my colleagues, is that the wastewater is often a very early indicator that people in the community are getting infected with SARS coronavirus 2, whether it's BA2 or any other variant, and then they're shedding it into the wastewater. So usually how this goes is you see an increase in the wastewater, then you'll start to see an increase in cases, and unfortunately, then you'll start to see an increase in hospitalizations and deaths. And we're really hoping that's not the case. But at the same time, in the U.S., there are many communities where there still is not a very high vaccination rate, where people have not gotten boosted. There are still many vulnerable people. And of course, there are many people who have been vaccinated, but who are older or have pre-existing conditions that might still make them vulnerable to an increase, which is why the wastewater data certainly is a cause for concern.
So the CDC now says that 98% of Americans can be maskless in most situations. At what point should governments reinstate precautions with all this talk of BA2? I mean, do we wait until another outbreak begins, doctor? I mean, does that mean we're playing catch up again? What do you think?
Yeah, in my view, I think that we really should be pumping the brakes on lifting particularly the mask restrictions. In my view, masks are not a really difficult lift for many people. It's not that hard to put on a mask in a public place, even if you're vaccinated, because, you know, many of us are vaccinated, but not everybody has the same protection from those vaccines. Not everybody is able to get those vaccines, and some people have chosen not to get those vaccines. So I do think that it was really premature to lift these mask mandates, because we are seeing increasing cases in the rest of the world. And as we've seen time and time again during this pandemic, you know, an increase in one country is not limited to that country. It quickly spreads to other countries, and certainly the U.S. Lifting restrictions puts itself in a much less protected position than it could have been otherwise.
Well, Doctor, as you know, most cities have lifted mask mandates. It's really hard to get those masks back on.
It sure is. And, you know, I have to say, I don't like wearing a mask at the same time, and I'm fully vaccinated and boosted. I still do continue to wear a mask voluntarily in indoor spaces. But as you pointed out, that's exactly right. If there's no policy backing that up, then a lot of people will choose not to wear a mask, or they may feel that the danger has passed because that's the recommendation being made by the government. But I would really encourage all the listeners to consider continuing to wear a mask in indoor public spaces, just because that does add an additional layer of protection between you, the vaccine, and the virus. It also will reduce transmission at the community level, which helps protect people who are more vulnerable than you might be.
Yeah. Well, while we have you, Doctor, there is some other news today. Pfizer has requested authorization for another booster for people 65 and older. Moderna today asking for approval for its boosters for people 18 and up. What do we know about who might need a booster? Because it sounds a bit confusing again.
It is very confusing. And I think one thing people should really keep in mind is that one of the things we were not able to do during the expedited vaccination trial process is really optimize the dosing schedule. So we, you know, we're trying to get these vaccines out as quickly as possible, which we absolutely needed to do. And that was with two shots. But we didn't really have the long-term follow-up to determine if additional booster doses would be needed. And for many vaccines, they are. So there's very clear data, I think, now that shows that a third booster, a third shot on top of the prior two, or an additional shot in addition to Johnson & Johnson, really does provide significantly increased protection against infection and some additional increases against severe disease as well, including for Omicron. So without question, I think there's data now that supports that people do need a third shot. Mm. With regard to a fourth shot, however, that's a little less clear. I think that certainly there's a case to be made for some people who might be more vulnerable, older people, people with pre-existing conditions, people who are immunocompromised, probably do need a fourth shot. But right now, I'm not sure that there is data showing that it's clear that everybody would need a fourth shot. And I think that data will be coming in.
I've got about 30 seconds left, Doctor, but I want to ask you about treatment because we're hearing that Pfizer's got an antiviral drug coming out, Paxlovid. How important are these drugs at putting more focus on treatments instead of prevention quickly?
So I think Paxlovid is really important, and that's going to help those people who have been vaccinated or who haven't been able to get vaccinated provide another level of protection against severe disease. I think that the test to treat program is really going to be a game changer, provided that people can actually get access to testing and get access to those medications. But we shouldn't be relying on them. We should still be putting vaccination front and center in our efforts to prevent the transmission and to end the pandemic once and for all.
Really good information. Dr. Angela Rasmussen, a virologist at the Vaccine and Infectious Disease Organization at the University of Saskatchewan. Doctor, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me, Jane. Have a nice weekend.
You too.